This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Some of the sounds of people protesting the shutdown, the furlough that has many Americans fed up. And why? Because they're not being fed with a paycheck. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, and this is my version of America Tonight, a snapshot of what everybody's talking about. And that's one of the big things that continues to be a hot topic of conversation, because somebody knows somebody that you may know that's affected by the shutdown. It's sort of 6 degrees of separation. The stories are pretty sad, except for that a lot of folks are pitching in. That's the good news. Not a surprise. We're all Americans, and we hate to see people suffering, and there's been food pantries that have been opened up, and there have been a lot of neighborhoods that have chipped in to help families who are struggling as they've lost a paycheck, because a lot of them are young families where they have young children and one working parent, and that parent happens to work for the government. So $800,000 without pay. The shutdown costing a lot of people time, money, effort, that kind of thing. And of course, their pay will be retroactive. In other words, they'll go back to what they're owed and get that. But that doesn't help when you're trying to pay the mortgage and etc. But the president wants to build the wall, and the president says you've got to be able to fund it, and Congress is not budging. So there is no in-between. There is no compromise. There are no meetings on the books, and there are none in the foreseeable future. When this first happened, I talked about it looking to be something that would dip into February, and I think that's pretty obvious that this is going to go into February, because we're not seeing any movement. So with no movement, businesses are pitching in to help federal workers, and like I said, neighborhoods are pitching in to help, and families are pitching in, but there is no movement. So protests can keep on going on, but I don't think the protests are going to move the needle very much. It may make people feel better who are furloughed, and the stories come out about young children that are missing doctor's appointments and that kind of thing. And, you know, it's everyone from, read a story today about a cook at the National Museum of the American Indian. He's a contract worker, so he doesn't get back pay when the shutdown ends. He works a second job at the Reagan National Airport to make ends meet, and, you know, that would be obviously terrifying. And there was another story I read about a woman who works at the Smithsonian. Her daughter goes to school in the federal building, so the school is closed. She isn't getting a paycheck, but the bills, of course, still keep coming. And the list goes on and on, whether it's Food and Drug Administration workers, whether it's TSA workers, the guys in the tower, farmers are being affected by it. You know, a financial management officer I read about with the Peace Corps and what the complex issues that she's dealing with, and prisons, unpaid prison workers, they feel demoralized, and there have been more people that have called in sick. So, you know, it's the human faces of the grief, the pain of not getting that paycheck that is very, very tough. So, of course, we all hope that there is a solution to this. But honestly, with all the sources I have, with everything that we've talked about, people we've had on the show, there does not seem to be any end in sight, not to pour more gasoline on the fire. But there haven't been any productive meetings. There haven't been any great solutions. So the needle is not being moved. Eventually, something's got to happen. And if you have a massive sick in for the TSA that would really cripple the airlines, I can't imagine, to me, that that would continue. I don't think so. While that's going on, we've got an interesting story coming out of the Pentagon. If you think back to the 80s and missile defense, and remember it was Star Wars, and so much has been written about that from the 80s, and then it was when we had the Cold War go away, all of that was shuttered. We didn't talk about missile defenses anymore. That wasn't anything that was a topic of conversation because we were going in the opposite direction. But guess what? The Pentagon is going to expand the scope and sophistication of the U.S. missile defenses on a scale that we haven't seen since the 80s. And why is that? It's because we're seeing that other governments are arming up, so to speak, with missiles. North Korea, Iran, they've got ballistic missile production like you haven't seen in a long time. Russia and China, they've got cruise missiles and hypersonic glide vehicles. It all threatens our security and the security, frankly, of our allies. So these programs that were abandoned after the collapse of the Soviet Union are opening up again. You know, that's not what the Pentagon focused on in the 90s or the 2000s at all. In fact, the focus, as far as weaponry was concerned, was on building interceptors to down missiles from rogue states. So now, it's the opposite. Now, we are back to amping up our missiles and our missile defense. They're talking about putting a constellation of sensors above the Earth that can track missiles as they launch. Can you imagine that? And they're recommending a study of weapons that can shoot down missiles from space. They're also looking into high-energy lasers that could give the U.S. a more cost-effective way to destroy missiles right after their launch. They call it when you're in the boost phase, hitting it then. So there's going to absolutely be more money that's going to have to go in the direction of the Pentagon if they're amping up, beefing up some of this sophisticated missile defense. And trust me, that's on the board. So it's not conversation, it's going to happen. When we talk about funding, that's going to be funded. That's going to be funded, but we're not going to see the government be partially, the partial shutdown change anytime soon, that's for sure. Besides all of what I just mentioned, the protests, etc., Pentagon and the amping up of the missiles, there is another sad story, the killing of four Americans in Syria. Lots of questions over what's going on there. So a month after the Prez declared the Islamic State was defeated, ordered the 2,000 troops in Syria be withdrawn, the bombings have showed that the militants are still a force in Syria for the foreseeable future. And now the question does become about the Americans. So you had four that were killed in Syria on Wednesday, two soldiers, a Defense Department civilian, and a military contractor. Largest number of deaths from hostile fire in a single incident overseas in the last 2 years. Very sad for their families, obviously. Hang with us.
It's been said, any society is only three missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And a crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a four-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Registered pharmacist Ben Fuchs understands the importance of supplementing with glucosamine and chondroitin for optimal health and vitality. That's why he recommends Glucogel from Youngevity.
Get on the Glucogel caps from Youngevity. They're a great way to treat arthritis and any kind of joint issues. And oh, by the way, glucosamine is great for helping support the vascular system, the blood vessel system too. So you'll get multiple benefits from the Glucogel caps. You'll be able to treat your arthritis and joints as well as your, as well as the circulatory system. And also the Glucogel caps can help prevent wrinkles. The Glucogel caps support collagen synthesis.
Take pharmacist Ben's advice and support your joint, circulatory system, and skin health by ordering Glucogel from Youngevity. Call 866-735-2470. That's 866-735-2470 or on the web at brightsideben.com. That's brightsideben.com. Order today.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
Together to set out what Parliament does want. That's why I'm inviting MPs from all parties to come together to find a way forward. One that both delivers on the referendum and can command the support of Parliament. This is now the time to put self-interest aside.
That'd be Theresa May, the Prime Minister of the UK. Many thought she was going to get booted, and 19 votes spared her, but the Brexit mess is a mess for her, for the government, etc. And it keeps raising questions as, wow, what happens in the future when we look at monetary systems? There's been so much discussion about blockchain, specifically Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies. Will they ever be something on a much bigger scale that is used across the board? I don't think so. I think the blockchain technology will be, but that's not even part of this. Most of the focus is just on in the EU with them or not with them. And the Brexit nightmare for her is far from over. When you survive, when you think of how many people in the House of Commons had votes, that's pretty amazing. So, pretty amazing. This goes all the way back to the UK voting in June of 2016 to leave the European Union. So to understand that, you got to think about how long that's been. And they voted by a majority of 52 to 48. But what happens if, the question was, what happens if the European bloc, if it left? And the last 2 years have just been politicking, negotiating, and nonsense. So the deal that May secured with the EU was voted down by the Parliament by a massively historic margin. She was just creamed. So is it still possible that the UK will leave the European Union in March without a deal in place, that would cause major disruptions. So if the UK wants to delay the exit date, they ask for more time, it would have to be agreed upon by all 37 EU member states if that were to happen. So the question is, what happens next? What's her plan B up her sleeve after that rejection? And it's fascinating to watch this, because watching another government, a huge ally of ours, they have to renegotiate the current deal, concessions from the EU on some of the controversial points of the deal, and will she get the major concessions or not? The Prime Minister could also say goodbye entirely to what they call a soft Brexit, and then that would satisfy the Labour Party and the Remainers and her Conservative Party. But what does that mean for the UK? They would still have ties to the EU and staying in the customs union and remaining, you know, key EU policies would remain in place. But boy, it's crazy. Because if it doesn't work, then what? Keep trying. I mean, or resign. I mean, here's the bottom line. It could even come to a resignation. Then there would be a general election. So it's still not off the table. And that would delay the March 29th deadline. A new government would have to handle Brexit. Or just, you know, a no-Brexit deal. But this is, for Theresa May, this is it. I mean, this is the only thing they're dealing with. And you got to think about 2 years, and now here we go as it continues on, and there still isn't that resolution. So it sounds like I'm talking like a bunch of gobbledygook here. It is gobbledygook, but it's important gobbledygook, and it affects us because, listen, what's going on with our monetary system, the fluctuations that happen on our market when it comes to any kind of negative news. So the Brexit bombshell to begin with, then the uncertainty over what the UK is going to do, all of that adds whenever anything comes up and rocks us just a little bit. Hey, speaking of being rocked, TSA screeners are calling in and saying they've got financial hardship and they're missing work. So longer screening lines, that's part of why we're seeing them. And, of course, missing their first paycheck. Many are saying they can't go to work because it's their own financial limitations. Even though they were ordered to continue working without pay, their jobs, of course, are considered in our government to be critically important to security. So what do you do when people call out and say, I can't even put gas in my car? What are you talking about? We can't make it to work. Child care costs, that's one thing. And they're saying they can't discipline employees who have financial issues because of this shutdown. You know how many airport security officers there are? 51,000, about 51,000. The average make $41,000 a year. Give or take, some more, some a little bit less. But wait times at a bunch of big airports have shot up with screening lanes closed. 6.1% and climbing security officers absent. So if they were to completely go across the board, boy, what a game changer I think that would be. Because the absentee rate just keeps getting closer and closer to 8%. That would put a chill on the airline industry and people traveling. So you're traveling and you can't get to where you're going. You know, how are you getting there when you're flying across the country or flying halfway across the country? And your main artery is flying. And then when you land, it's grabbing a car, or it's grabbing a lift, or depending on where it is. Wow. Unbelievable. All right, Harvey Weinstein in our news cycles again. The reason why is, boy, talk about someone who fell hard. Somebody who was on the top of the mountain and completely fell down the backside of it. His criminal defense attorney is quitting the case. So attorney Benjamin Braffman is going to withdraw from representing Weinstein. And the reason why, there are no comments really on this, but remember, Weinstein is accused of raping a woman in a New York hotel room in 2013 and forcibly performing oral sex acts on another woman at his Manhattan apartment years before that. And there's all kinds of stories about Harvey Weinstein. He's got 5 felony charges, 2 counts of predatory sexual assault, 1 count of criminal sex act in the first degree, 1 count each of first degree rape and third degree rape. And the list goes on and on and on and on and on. And there's just too many people that came forward. So this has impacted, I think the attorney representing him says that he's spent so many years trying to get to the top of the profession, and it's his most high-profile case, but it might have been flattering to be picked by him, but then he realizes what he has at stake, and perhaps he decided, maybe this isn't so smart after all, is the case unraveling. And he has represented some pretty high-profile people, Plaxico Burress, the football player, ex-football player, Sean Combs, Dominique Strauss-Kahn, a lot of people that you might remember their stories. But this is a difficult case. I mean, how do you find an impartial jury here? I don't see how you would find an impartial jury. But I'm not crying any tears for Harvey Weinstein. And he really started the Me Too movement. Once the stories dropped out about Weinstein, other stories started to come out of things that had happened to women. And it took down a lot of people in the broadcasting industry, in the movie and television industry, and in industries across the board. Some very high-profile people found themselves blacklisted, so to speak, out of jobs and companies that knew they were too toxic, and that was it. Speaking of being toxic, just a quick one here. Bravo, Michigan State. The Michigan State president resigned after he claimed that Larry Nassar's victims were enjoying the spotlight. You got to be kidding me. So John Engler had to step away after criticism over some of those statements he made about the girls and the young women who were those victims. The Board of Trustees is considering his ouster. They're going to discuss the transition. Makes complete sense to me. He sent an 11-page letter to the school's board saying he was advised that several were going to ask for his resignation. Smart. What a dumb thing to say. Hang with us.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
U.S. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
So far, no word from the White House on Speaker Nancy Pelosi suggested President Trump not come to Congress to deliver a State of the Union address at the end of the month. She cited security concerns related to the government shutdown. Senate Democratic Leader Chuck Schumer.
What is the State of the Union? The government is closed because of President Trump. If it continues to be closed on the 29th, I think it's a good idea to delay it until the government is open.
The letter from Pelosi proposed delaying the January 29th address until the government reopens. Virginia Senator Tim Kaine supports that idea.
I think it would be very, very odd to be having a State of the Union speech when big chunks of the government are shut down, 800 plus thousand people aren't getting paid, and millions of Americans are without critical services.
This is USA Radio News.
Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies in a capsule.
I went to have my blood test done a few weeks ago, and I met the doctor, and he was really encouraged by my progress, and I showed him what I was taking, and he started looking at all the ingredients, and he said, I'm really impressed with the shiitake mushroom. And he said, this stuff, it could clean out your arteries. And I'm like, oh, wow. He said, you may be onto something here. And he said, you just keep that up, and maybe you can start cutting back on your medication. And he says, you're helping your health by doing that. And I'm like, whoa, endorsement by the doctor.
When you call, use discount code USA, and we'll take 35% off your first month's order and ship it to you free. Call 800-246-8751. That's 1-800-246-8751. Or go online to balanceofnature.com and use discount code USA.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Welcome to Forbes Books at Bedtime with Kate Delaney and Greg Stebbin.
Well, we're excited about our next guest. James McCann is in our virtual green room. And check this out. I'm going to give you a little bit of his background. He spent 20 years as a CEO where he oversaw some of the operations of some of the world's leading food retail businesses, including Tesco, very big name in Europe and Asia. And I'll tell you what, he's written this book that's called Startups and the Tech Revolution, The Essential Guide, which when I think about business and then I think of his background as not only that, as an investor, a board member, and an advisor to early stage companies that are disrupting the retail and consumer goods space, I think this is a book that you definitely need to read. So, James, thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks, Kate.
Can you describe the tech revolution for us?
Yeah. So if you sort of zoom out and think about the biggest picture, you know, our society has been through a number of these big changes. You know, we started as hunter-gatherers, and then we became an agricultural society. And then sort of in the late 1700s, early 1800s, we transitioned to become an industrial society. And what's happening and what's been happening for the last 30 years or so is that we're now transitioning to this technological economy. And that is a major, major shift. Because, you know, we'd sort of all got used to working in the industrial economy, and now we're going to have to get used to living and working in the technological age. And I think it's going to be one of the biggest shifts in human history.
And so, James, where are we on the timeline of this? Are we already seeing this tech revolution, and so we can have a sense that we have, okay, I kind of get a feeling for how this is going to go, or are you describing something that's such a huge tidal wave coming that everything we've seen to date pales in comparison to what's to come?
Well, we've already seen a lot of changes. I mean, if you think back, you know, to 1950 and then think about today, you can already see how much change has happened in that very, very short period of time. What's happening is it's just it's broadening and it's accelerating. So, you know, the first part of this change was really around computers, microprocessors, you know, the TV. In the late 90s, you got this huge impact from the arrival of the internet. Then we had the huge impact of the smartphone revolution coming in. You know, the sort of, it was only really in 2007 that started to impact. And what's happening now is it's happening across a whole array of areas, you know, whether it's, you know, genomics or nanotechnology or LIDAR technology, or the really big one is probably artificial intelligence. You've now got a whole bunch of these technological revolutions going on that are enabling society to change and change broadly and more quickly than it's ever had to do in the past.
Wow. So you're definitely describing from end to end fast, dramatic change. Should people listening to this be excited by the tech revolution?
I think, as with most things, people should be both excited and concerned. I personally am probably 80% excited and 20% concerned. We have the opportunity in the coming 20 years to redefine what it is that we believe about human society. I really believe that the change is going to be that profound. And so we can push that in a direction, you know, of a society that we would all want to live in. But if we don't act, and if we just have everything happening to us, then there is a danger that society will end up being significantly worse for a very significant proportion of the population. And I think that's our opportunity and our risk in the coming two decades.
We're talking with James McCann. He's the author of the new Forbes book, Startups and the Tech Revolution, The Essential Guide. By the way, we're going to continue this interview by podcast, so you can also find it at Forbes book. There's one of those edits we were talking about, James. You can also find it at ForbesBooks.com/radio. In addition to being the author of the book Startups and the Tech Revolution, The Essential Guide, he has a very, very deep background in consumer goods and retail. Today he's an investor, a board member, an advisor, a speaker. And one of the things I want to ask you, James, is as we're looking at this tech revolution, it seems to me that on one hand, there's a lot of players who need to act to get ready for this. And I think it's pretty clear we're not ready for this. But some of the players who need to act, ironically, seem to me young people, millennials, people who are in school today, and also their parents. It seems to me that parents need to be prepared so that they have a place in the workforce today and tomorrow. And young people need to be looking ahead to make sure that they have a place in the workforce for a very, very long time and that they really profit from it instead of being left behind.
Greg, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, I think, you know, this tech revolution is going to impact everyone in society. And so everybody needs to research what it means, start to understand what the impact for them and their families may be and their businesses if they're running a company. And then they need to start to think about how they're going to manage and cope as this change continues to accelerate and broaden. I think younger people are just going to have to live with, you know, these changes for much longer. And those changes will continue to broaden and accelerate because the biggest single shift in moving from, you know, the industrial economy to the technological economy is that everything is going to change at that accelerating technological pace. You know, we all know how our computers and our telephones, you know, seem to change every 3 years and we have to update to a new model. That's just going to happen now across most aspects of our society. And people are going to need to learn to live with that. I don't think there is an opt-out clause. I think people are going to be in this, and they can choose, you know, to try to make the most of it and turn our society into something better, But if they ignore it, it's likely that it will have a negative impact on their lives.
Yeah, I like the way you put that, James, in talking about the accelerating pace of this, moving from the industrial revolution to the technology era that we're in that's really exploding. What do you tell people who are reluctant to embrace that, where they say, I just can't use, I can't tell you, sometimes younger and sometimes older, as I'm a speaker and I speak all over the place and I hear people say, I just don't care. I'm going to go back to the old way of doing it. I can't understand this technology. I don't want to learn it. I don't have time. What do you say to those people who are, as you were mentioning there, reluctant?
Well, the good news for some of those people is that the way the technology is evolving is likely to make it much simpler for them to interface with technology and the tech revolution. You know, the fact that we're going to be able to interface by voice. You know, the fact that we're going to probably within a decade be able to interface directly from our brains with computers and with technology. That is being developed as we speak. You know, the U.S. DARPA organization has put billions of dollars into that research because they want to be able to provide, you know, veterans coming back from the wars with missing limbs, with artificial limbs that can move and feel. And so we are going to be directly interfacing the human mind with the world of technology around it. And that is literally happening now. There is, I think the latest example I saw was a disabled fighter pilot who's now able to control three F-15 fighter jets with his mind alone. So that is going to make it easier for everybody to interact and interface with this world. But I think there is no option to not do it unless you're prepared to sort of move off grid in a pretty substantial way. Everybody who's in work and who's living in mainstream society is going to have to manage these changes as they happen.
What's fascinating me as I read the book, James, and the book title is Startups and the Tech Revolution, The Essential Guide. It's really fascinating to me that you're really approaching this from a couple of different angles. The essential guide part is a perfect subtitle for the book because you're really breaking down how businesses, startups begin and what's key for them to be successful. And I suspect that part of the message here is that we as individuals are going to have to start thinking of ourselves almost like startups and reinventing ourselves every few years as the technology around us changes every few years.
I think that's one of, I think if we just look at the broader picture, society as a whole, I believe, is going to have to rethink what it values. Today, we value economic worth, and I think we're going to have to broaden that to be valuing societal worth. And then within that, we're going to have to take a whole bunch of actions in order to help people to make this transition to have worthwhile lives in the tech age and in the robot age. I think we're going to help people to retrain. I think we're going to help people to reduce the amount of sort of normal work that they do to become much more entrepreneurial and do much more voluntary types of work. And I think we're going to have to put a safety net in place where we essentially redistribute some of the gains from the tech age to enable people to have a safety net underneath them. And the point that you're making, Greg, you know, the sort of middle section of the book, is really to say to people that within that world, one big way of them having a meaningful role and a life is to become much more entrepreneurial, is to, you know, we're already seeing it with the gig economy, but that's just going to broaden and we're all going to be working for ourselves, whether it's as entrepreneurs or as intrapreneurs within organizations. We're going to be much more, we're going to need to be much more self-starting, going to need to be much, much more able to transition our businesses as the world evolves around us.
Wow, fascinating stuff. James, I'm wondering if you can do another segment with us because we'd love to have you back on and continue this conversation.
I'd love to.
Great. James McCann is the author of Startups and the Tech Revolution, The Essential Guide, and we look forward to our next conversation with James.
United States of Empire is a book that claims the United States is the empire of the world. George Washington had warned us against foreign wars. The United States of Empire shows that World Wars I and II left England broken. Its former colony, the U.S., had to save the empire. Was there ever a vote? Who do we fight for? The Deep State began with World War I. The United States of Empire by James Dunn. Available at Amazon Books.
Marijuana has unleashed a green gold rush across our nation. It's creating $10.8 billion in new wealth a year. And every day, it's transforming more and more Americans into millionaires. In an historic event, former Speaker of the House John Boehner reveals how you could become one of them. Join him online for the American Cannabis Summit. Attendance is 100% free, but space is limited. To secure your spot, text JOIN to 76280. This event is the first of its kind ever. John Boehner and an esteemed panel will reveal which cannabis stocks are primed to deliver life-changing windfalls in the weeks and months ahead. Plus, they will show you how to become a cannabis angel investor, backing the hottest startups before they potentially become worth billions of dollars. To join American Cannabis Summit, text JOIN to 76280. Attendance is free. Text JOIN to 76280. Text JOIN to 76280.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women. Here's Dr. Sonia Baccia on The Doctors.
So this is a product we're going to see if it works. It's called Instantly Ageless. And the idea is that it works very quickly. Is you just need a very small amount. And then you apply it to areas where you might be a little bit puffy. I have just looked at what's in this product. And one of them is something called argireline, which is sort of a darling in dermatology right now. It's a peptide or a protein that actually relaxes the muscle. It's also called Botox in a bottle. The other active ingredient in this is silicates, which are almost act like a clay. They're minerals, and they're making the skin sort of tighter. It's actually increasing the surface tension on the skin to push that herniated fat pad back.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com.
You're not too long and you think I'm short. They want your ship closer to the shore. They ask me goodbye, but it's not over. Just speak up, but now you're done. Now you're done.
How would you like to pursue your dream job? How would you like to stop making excuses for why you don't have the job that you really want and you could pursue your passion? Alan Ageman joins us now. He knows all about this because he's managing partner of a nationwide staffing firm. So he's been in the field for 3+ decades. And boy, I bet we could learn a lot from Alan. Alan, thanks so much for jumping on America Tonight. We appreciate it.
Oh, good morning. Thanks for having me.
So here's the ultimate question. Everybody talks about this. I mean, I think it was stamped on my forehead. I can remember saying this to people when they would get upset at their job, but they were doing well and they had to feed their family and their economic engine. I would say, make sure it's the right time to look for a job. So when is the best time to look for a job?
The standard answer is while you're working. You know, you always want to look for an opportunity while you're working. You can kind of, you know, basically set back, assess the market, target a couple of companies that you like to work for, go through the process slowly, because it is a job, looking for your job, looking for that right job. But when you're working, it's ultimately the best time to do it.
All right, so the best time is when you're employed, but what about when you're stressed and there's a downsizing, something happens, the company closes, and you just have no closes and you have no choice and you're in the middle of that situation? I know because somebody sent this to me and I thought this was brilliant. You recommend that people read a couple of different books to pump them up, right?
You know, it's all about attitude. You know, life is full of ups and downs and how we deal with them. I myself, my career has been a blessed career. But we have ups and downs, and how do you deal with your challenges? How do you deal with the challenges of everyday life? You got to pick yourself, you get punched in the stomach, pick yourself up again, keep yourself positive, do things that work your mind, body, and soul, whether it's diet, eating right, exercise, taking care of your family the right way. But you also need that time for yourself. And you have to find what makes you tick. I'm a family man myself, but also I need Allen time. And that Allen time, you kind of get to figure out, you know, what you do and what makes you tick. Whether it's getting up an hour early and, you know, going to the gym before you start the day, or maybe getting home late after everyone goes to bed and just kind of chilling out and relaxing in your bedroom, doing some yoga, listening to some video, watching some videos or music. There's a lot of things we can do to keep ourselves positive. You got to find out yourself and how to do that.
Well, that sounds good. Yoga sounds good right about now. Great advice.
Yeah.
So how about... Go ahead.
Not after two cups of coffee. It's not after.
I understand that. I'm like you. I'm a coffee drinker, too.
Yeah.
So what about if, as we're saying, you're out of work, you're looking for a job. What are the industries, the top industries who are hiring?
The Bacharach Group's been in business for 40 years. We're a New York-based nationwide staffing firm, and we've seen an uptick in the market. And probably about, we have 12 different verticals here: technology, digital, engineering, real estate, finance, and accounting is real good. Again, healthcare is a tremendous business. Office services, and they all kind of tying together. You know, so right now we're seeing an uptick the last 5 or 6 years. Yes, I am in the staffing industry for 3 decades plus. Makes me feel old, but I feel I'm surrounded by young people, so I feel like I'm 20 years old. But I think that divisions or the verticals that I mentioned are hot businesses right now. You know, technology, digital engineering. I mean, it's all. You see what's going on in Manhattan? There's building all over, and technology drives everything.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, what if you, this happened to me, but I found a way to break out of it. What if you're kind of pigeonholed into a specific position? What do you do to change your career or spark your career? What can you do?
Well, first of all, while you're working in any organization, you know, you know, everyone gets pigeonholed doing what they're doing. You have to continue to learn. Continue to learn.
Yes.
You know, a lot of people, you know, again, like you said earlier, you know, we have to support our families, come home, make sure the bills are paid. But again, you have to find time, because that day is going to come. Either you're going to get downsized or something's going to happen. But if you learn as you go, you'll never have a problem. And it's very easy to do that today. You know, years ago, you had to go to a classroom to do it. Today, you can go in front of your computer. You can do online training and sit there. And you can learn a lot. You know, you can do a lot of online courses. Keep the mind fresh. Positive stuff. Feed the mind positive stuff. And the results will be positive.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you 100%. Alan, thank you so much. One last question. Let's say, I get it when you're younger and you're looking for a younger job. What if you're somebody in your 40s or 50s? There's still hope, right? There's people that hire people in older age groups.
I'm 62. Yeah.
Actually,
you know, it's funny. You ever see the movie The Intern? Robert
yes.
De Niro?
Yeah.
Great movie, right?
Yeah.
You know, so they're all... good careers. You know, there's still good careers, and the market's picking up, thank God, and there are good jobs out there, both on the full-time side, on the temporary side, maybe somebody a little bit older that doesn't want to retire yet, wants to work part-time. There's some good temp jobs, depending on their skill set, and the seniors bring great value to a company. They bring old-school values. They bring a way of doing things that maybe a lot of people can learn from.
Yeah, there you go. Alan Ageman, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
No problem. Have a great day.
Right, I thought that was great advice. What an upbeat guy. And as he said, he's been blessed and he's been in the same career. But I think he really, I know there's some of you listening out there that are in that same spot. And listen, I've been there. Careers are very, very strange. And especially in big corporations, things can change, or maybe something changes with you. And there are a couple of books. There's a couple of books actually that he recommends. And I thought that was great that he said his advice that he gave about the yoga, etc. But there's a book by Dan Harris. It's called 10% Happier. That sounds reasonable, right? If you could just be 10% happier. There's another one by Gil Hassan. It's called How to Deal with Difficult People, because that's a lot of times what we see that happens in workplaces. It's about the difficult people, and so you have such a hard time maneuvering around it. It makes everything miserable, and everybody's talking miserable, and you don't want to be there, and, ugh, you used to like the job, and all that kind of nonsense that comes into play. And then David Stoop has a book called You Are What You Think, and boy, do I totally subscribe to that. You are what you think. If every day you're beating yourself up, I mean, everybody can have a bad day, everybody can make a mistake, whatever, but if you constantly relive it, if you constantly blame yourself, that's just going to marinate. I call it marinating. That's going to marinate in your mind, and that's just going to become that much more magnified. So you certainly don't want that. And a couple of other things I would say, and Alan would agree with me, you know, for sure on this, is you can stand out by practicing your interviews, do some mock interviews, make sure you have the right look for the job that you're going for. I have a friend that used to say, dress for the job you want, and whether we like it or not. I mean, it doesn't really even matter what field you're in. It doesn't even matter if you're a truck driver. It just depends on where you are and what you do. You want to make sure that you do that. Also, the other thing is, make sure, and I agree with this, make sure you send a handwritten note. Sometimes when I'm speaking and I talk about this, one of the things you absolutely can do is write a note, because people like to get things in the mail. Why? Because, you know what? For one, they like to get things in the mail, but two, they don't get that many things in the mail. So you have an advantage there, where it used to be probably that's what everybody did, because there wasn't all the emails. It just wasn't common procedure, even when we first had the internet. So writing the handwritten note can really, really matter. That's something you can do if you go for a job interview, or you are looking for something and somebody's giving you some great advice, and they're just helping you. They're telling you where to research or what they heard. Doing that, making that extra step, wow, it can make such a big difference. I would say one thing, because I know for myself, when I'm in a hurry, make sure you proofread it. Make sure you proofread it, because it'd be so easy to have a silly spelling error just because you're rushing or trying to get it in the mail, you know, before whatever time, and then that's when that kind of stuff happens. But I thought it was great what he said, and I think it's good to also keep your resume up to date. And when you are looking at a specific position, and he mentioned some of the hot areas, what is it you can do to acquire some kind of extra skill? And Alan talks about this too. Any kind of extra training, certifications, something that you could easily do too. It doesn't have to be something ridiculous, but something that could help you to raise your profile a bit in that area, or just give you that extra skill, period, so that you can put it on the resume and gives you a better chance at possibly getting the job. And you just have to constantly update that resume. I know we have many people that listen to America Tonight. Izzy is one of them, who's had several careers. I thought it was so fascinating as we got to know her that she would talk about, well, I used to be here, and I lived here, and I did this. And it was so interesting because she reinvented herself a couple of different times, and that's what it sometimes happens. And also because you want to do it, either necessity or you want to do it. So that's why that resume part becomes so important. Wow. Great advice from Alan Ageman. Stay with us, and we have much more coming your way on the flip side.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
bad theater seats, cheap Halloween masks, my apartment, all things with obstructed views. Add to these large trucks and buses. 18-wheelers and large buses have big blind spots, and like my apartment, they don't always have the best view. Bus and truck drivers deal with blind spots around the entire vehicle. Always take care not to ride alongside or too close behind them. Our roads, our responsibility. Learn more at sharetheroadsafely.gov.